Wednesday of the second week after Easter. In thy resurrection, O Christ, Alleluia. Let heaven and earth rejoice, Alleluia. We are not to suppose that because the sacred humanity of our risen Jesus is resplendent with glory and majesty, it is therefore less accessible to mortals. His kindness and condescension are the same as before. Nay, he seems to have become more affectionate than ever, and more desirous to be with the children of men. Surely we have not forgotten what happened during the joyous octave of the Pasch. His affectionate greeting to the holy women when on their way to the sepulchre, his appearing to Magdalene under the form of a gardener, his conversation with the two disciples of Emmaus and the means he took to make them recognize him, his showing himself on the Sunday evening to the 10, greeting them with his peace be to you, allowing them to touch him, and even condescending to eat with them. His amiably bidding Thomas on the 8th day convince himself of the reality of the resurrection by feeling the wounds. His meeting his disciples at the Lake of Gennesaret, blessing their fishing, and providing them with a repast on the bank. All this is proof of the tender love and intimacy wherewith our Savior treated his creatures during the 40 days after his resurrection. As to his visits to his Blessed Mother, we shall have another occasion for speaking of them. Today, we will consider him in the midst of his disciples. So frequently is he with them that St. Luke calls it an appearing to them for 40 days. Footnote, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. The Apostolic College is reduced to 11, for the place of the traitor Judas is not to be filled up till after our Lord's ascension, immediately before the descent of the Holy Ghost. How beautiful in their simplicity are these future messengers of the good tidings to mankind. Footnote, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. A short while ago they were weak and hesitating in their faith. They forgot all they had seen and heard. They fled from their master in the hour of trial. As he had foretold it to them, they were scandalized at his humiliations and death. The news of his resurrection made little impression upon them. They even disbelieved it. And yet, they found him so affectionate, so gentle in his reproaches, that they soon resumed the confidence and intimacy they had had with him during his mortal life. Peter, who had been the most unfaithful, as well as the most presumptuous of all, has now regained his position of the most honored of the apostles, and in a few days hence is to receive a special proof of Jesus having forgotten his past disloyalty. He and his fellow apostles can think of nothing now but Jesus. When he is with them, they feast on the beauty and glory of his appearance. His words are dearer to them than ever, for they understand them better now that they have been enlightened by the mysteries of the Passion and Resurrection. They eagerly listen to all that he says, and he says more than formerly, because he is so soon to leave them. They know that the day will soon come when they will no longer be able to hear his voice. They, therefore, treasure up his words as though they were his last will. And how could they better fit themselves for the mission he has entrusted to them? It is true, they do not, as yet, fully enter into all the mysteries they are to preach to the world. They could not even remember so many sublime things. But Jesus tells them that he will soon send upon them the Holy Ghost, who will not only give them courage, but will also bless them with spiritual understanding, and will enable them to remember all that he, Jesus, has taught them. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26. Nor must we forget the holy women, those faithful companions of Jesus, who followed him up to Calvary, and were the first to be rewarded with the joys of the resurrection. Their divine master could not overlook them now. He praises their devotedness. He encourages them. He takes every opportunity of repaying them. Heretofore, as the Gospel tells us, footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verse 55, they provided him with food. Now that he needs no earthly nourishment, he feasts them with his dear presence. They see him, they hear his words. The very thought that he is soon to be taken from them makes these happy days doubly precious to them. They are the venerable mothers of the Christian people. They are our illustrious ancestors in the faith, and on the day of the descent of the Holy Ghost, we shall find them with the apostles in the cenacle, receiving the tongues of fire. Woman is to be represented on that glorious occasion, when the Church is to be made manifest before the world. The women of Calvary and the Sepulchre are chosen for this office, and right well do they deserve to share in the bright joys of Pentecost. Let us recite the following sequence in honor of our dear Jesus, who passes these 40 days with his apostles and the holy women. It was composed by Adam of St. Victor. Sequence. Lo, the great day is come. Light follows darkness, and resurrection, death. Sorrow gives place to joy, for our glory is greater than was our former shame. Truth dispels the shadow, the new, what was old, and consolation, mourning. Celebrate the new Pasch. Let the members hope to have what now their head enjoys. Our new Pasch is Christ, the spotless Lamb that was slain for us. Christ has taken the prey from the enemy that surrounded us. It is the victory prefigured by Samson when he tore the lion to pieces, and by the powerful David when he rescued his father's flock from the lion's grasp and the bear's jaw. When Samson killed his enemies by his own death, he was a type of Christ, whose death was a victory. Samson signifies their son. So is Christ the light of his elect, for he makes his grace shine upon them. Under the holy beam of the cross, the vine stream flows into the storehouse of the beloved Church. The winepress is trodden, and the first fruits of the Gentiles drink their fill and are glad. The garment that was rent and torn is made a robe for kings. That garment is the flesh that triumphed over suffering and became an ornament of grace. The Jews forfeited God's kingdom because they put the king to death. They are not utterly destroyed, for like Cain, they are set as a sign. The stone that they rejected and despised is now the chosen one, set up as a trophy, and made the chief cornerstone. Taking away sin, but not our nature, he creates us new creatures. He unites in himself the two peoples, Jew and Gentile. Be glory to our head, and to the members, peace. Amen.